Let's begin in prayer. Lord God, we do thank you that you are a holy God. We thank you that your holiness lasts forever. And we thank you for the giving of your Son, Jesus Christ, that we would be able to come before you and worship you. We would be able to come before you and serve you. May this time of meditation be a blessing to all. In Christ we pray. Amen. Believe it or not, I had an opportunity to go out and buy a new tool. Had a project at home. It involved some outdoor work, and I had to use some longer finish nails that were galvanized, a little bit thicker. I tried to use my finish nailer that I already had at home, but it just wasn't working right. Fortunately, I knew that I had a gift card. So I got to go to the store and buy a more powerful, bigger-sized finish nailer. My original nailer, which I still have for smaller projects, it never needs oiling. I've had it for several years, never oiled, just works like a charm. But I know that not all tools are the same, not all nailers are the same. So I was scanning the owner's manual to see whether the new nail gun needed oil or not. I scanned it, and I couldn't figure out where it said yes or no. So I had to do the unthinkable. I had to go to the beginning of the owner's manual and read from the beginning all the way through, at least until page 5, where it said you need to oil the nailer. 2 or 3 drops every hour or every time you pick it up. My point being, reading from the beginning is important. Reading from the beginning is important. In one of the sermon resource publications I read, an age-old question was being asked. Do Christians need to read the Old Testament? It's a popular thought that all we need is Jesus. All we need is the love of Jesus, and all we need to do is love like Jesus. And we're good. We can live forever. Surveys and studies show that many Christians only read the New Testament. Reading the 4 Gospels that talk about the life and times of Jesus himself, and reading the Acts of the Apostles and the letters of the early church, we know enough about God by just reading the New Testament. No need to read the Old Testament. In fact, I did a Google search my Bible software program. I don't always just go to Google. My Bible software in the NIV, the name Jesus is not mentioned in the Old Testament. The word Christ is not mentioned in the Old Testament. So why read the Old Testament? It's important to remember reading from the beginning is important. I want to come from a different direction. I often listen to a podcast of a Christian speaker, and this time he was defending the truth and the inerrancy of the Bible. And the Christian host was debating with the person who did not believe in God at all, but to prove their point of the debate, they were pulling out certain verses from Old Testament law to talk about how hypocritical the Christian church is. That they would point out this sin or this law, and the Christian church is not obeying that today, so how do you decide what is sinful and what is not sinful? Well, the host of the podcast accused the non-believing debater of, quote, cherry-picking verses. I don't know if you do that. I don't know if you've heard about that. Another word is proofreading. You have a point to make, and you want to pull out Leviticus 21:59. That's not a verse in the Bible. I just made that up. Don't go be looking for it. And I'm going to use this to make my defense. That is taking a verse out of Scripture to prove your point. We read Scripture to know what God's points are. And so we have this debate, we have this doubt, we have this wonder about the Bible. We do know the Bible is a book. It's one book made up of 2 parts, the Old Testament and the New Testament. It's one book, but there are 66 books within it. And that's why the word Bible means little books. but it's one cohesive book from the beginning until the end. It's a collection of histories, of gospels, of letters, of wisdom, of prophecy, and revelation. And the Bible is meant by God to be considered all as one unit. So what am I going to say? It's important to remember reading from the beginning is important. Jesus speaks of this in part of the verse we read, or Avery read for us, from Matthew 5:18, when he says, "I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will be by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished." The King James Version of Matthew 5:18 words it as, "Not one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." So you got to go back and you got to look at the Hebrew a little bit to try and understand this verse. The jot refers to the smallest letter in the Hebrew alphabet. In English, it looks like it's even just half of a letter. So not one dot can be removed, and a tittle is the smallest mark in the Hebrew alphabet. It can be just the crossbar of a T. It can just be the tail of a Y. Not one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, or in the NIV, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. All the words of the Bible, the New Testament and the Old Testament, from the beginning to the end, are important because they're God's revealed word to us. Now, before I continue, I do want to acknowledge that there are parts of the Old Testament that are dry. They're difficult to read. You can start reading that verse and you suddenly fall asleep. It's kind of like you're listening to a sermon by the pastor. I didn't just say that, did I? But the Old Testament, it can have stretches. But that doesn't mean we can discount it. We still have to know its history and its truth. Well, since I've already talked about cherry-picking verses, here I am about to look at three different passages of the Bible to kind of offer the conclusion to this sermon. But I'm not really cherry-picking. I'm not taking them out of context. I'm giving you some background. But these three are just representative of many other passages of Scripture that would offer the same thing about God. So going back to Daniel 6, because of jealousy, Daniel had been rising in the ranks of the officials, and because the other officials were jealous of him, those other officials became deceptive. They wanted to deceive the king so that Daniel didn't look as good and so that they could look a little bit better and have more power, maybe more authority, and maybe more money. And so they cooked up this decree that for 30 days it was illegal for anyone in the kingdom of King Darius to pray to anything, any god, anyone but King Darius. Now, those jealous officials, they knew by his integrity Daniel would not obey this new decree. And so after the decree was in place, a team of those ranking officials, they went, and sure enough, they found Daniel on his knees praying to the one true God. And so they grabbed him and they took him to King Darius, and King Darius tried to defend Daniel because King Darius enjoyed the leadership that Daniel had to offer. But the decree was binding. It could not be broken. And so Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. The stone was put on top, and King left for the night. Coming back the next day, he called out to Daniel, and Daniel responded that through the power of God, God shut the mouths of the lions, and Daniel was not harmed. To everyone's amazement, Daniel was not harmed. As a result of Daniel's faith, as a result of his giving proclamation to God, King Darius wrote a different decree, a new decree, in part of what I read at the beginning of the service. And that decree offers various attributes of God. It says, God is a living God. God endures forever, from ever, from the very beginning through all of eternity. And so to know all the aspects of God, of the living God, we have to read the Old Testament. Number two, the kingdom of God will never be destroyed. God's dominion, God's power, God's authority will always be present, will always last. In one small way, I don't know about you, Katie, we were at the lock-in from 7 p.m. to midnight. I can honestly say at 10 a.m. I said, I have two more hours of this. Wow. But you know what? I just prayed, and those final 2 hours went by quick. And they got even louder. You know? Even in the small things, God's power is present, and He will get you through. Both the Old Testament and the New Testament, they contain countless accounts, just like Daniel in the lion's den, that we can read and be reminded that God, the Father, and God, the Son, they love us, and they're powerful, and they want us to know them in a very personal way. If we don't read the Old Testament, we miss tremendous stories about God's power and God's revelation. Moving to the New Testament in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus attests to why Christians need to read the Old Testament. Matthew chapter 5, in his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus knows that he's speaking to Israelites. He knows that he is speaking to the Jewish people. And he knows that as he begins to talk about the new covenant that he is bringing in, he is ushering in, he knows that he's going to be causing trouble in the minds and the hearts of those Israelites, of those Jews. He knows his listeners have many thoughts and questions, troubling thoughts and troubling questions. What about the law, they wonder? What about the patriarchs from Abraham to Moses? What does it all mean in terms of the prophecies of the Old Testament prophets? The Jewish people, they knew their history. They knew of their covenantal relationship with God. What this new Jesus is about, is he calling them to forget their past? Jesus seeks to calm their fears. He says, I have not come to abolish the law or the prophets, but to fulfill them. The Old Testament is still in play. There is history and value there for us to know and to know about God. Biblical scholarship declares that the phrase Jesus uses in this verse, law or the prophets, that phrase can be read and used in four different ways. Number one, it can speak of the Ten Commandments, the laws that God handed down to Moses. Number two, it can speak of the first five books of the Old Testament, of the Bible, known as the Pentateuch, the first five, the Torah, the law. Third, it can be speaking about the law and the prophets to mean all of Scripture at that time when Jesus was alive. All of Scripture, a comprehensive description of the material known as the Old Testament. And fourth, it can speak about the oral law or the scribal law. If you study the Old Testament, you know that there were the Ten Commandments that God gave to Moses, but then the scribes of the Israelites, they have added 600 other laws to that, to the original 10. 603 plus 10, 613 laws, and the scribes are focused on those 603 and not necessarily the 10. And that's why they're trying to capture the attention of the crowd to see where Jesus has messed up, which we know was impossible to do. So the law and the prophets represents the whole. It's not just the New Testament. And then lastly, from Matthew 22, representing some of the final teachings of Jesus. This comes after the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem and before his last supper with the disciples. In chapters 21, 22, and 23, the final teachings of Jesus. In a biblical outline I read, it talks about the last controversies Jesus had with the Jewish leaders. And those Jewish leaders come in many different groups. We can read about those in those three chapters. There's the chief priests, there's the elders of the people, there's the Pharisees, there's the Herodians, there's the Sadducees. Leaders of the temple, leaders of the faith, And they're all taking their turn trying to attack Jesus. In the passage we've read this morning from chapter 22, it's the Pharisees who got together to test Jesus with one more question, with an expert in the law asking Jesus, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment of the law?" Now, not just the 10, not just the 613, because if you look at the book of the law of America, there's a million probably out there. There's a few thousand laws. It had kind of multiplied over the centuries. They want to know which is the greatest. Jesus offers two. Love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. And as you study what Jesus offered, it's common understanding in the New Testament church, love the Lord your God summarizes the first four of the Ten Commandments, the relationship that people are to have with God, to love God and not to take His name in vain, and to honor God and to honor the Sabbath. Love your neighbor as yourself summarizes the final six of those Ten Commandments, the relationship that God wants us to have with one another. And a perfect example of having the Garapies with us today, sharing how they are loving the people of Belize and Belizeans, I think that's the right term, they're loving them back. They're including them as part of their family. The second six, love your neighbor as yourself, it gives guidance in living life which honors people and loves God. That's just one example of Jesus connecting the Old Testament and the New Testament together. Because remember, reading from the beginning is important. Another way of thinking about it is, I included this on the sermon outline, to ignore the Old Testament is like making a new friend and never asking about their past, about their history, and about their family. It is natural to want to know some of the history of people that we come in contact with, to meet with them and to have them be our friends. That's the Old Testament and the New Testament together. Reading from the beginning is important. If you've never read the Old Testament, or you wonder about how, what order, you know, you can just read Genesis. What's the last book of the Old Testament? Very good, Malachi. You can just start in the beginning, or you can pick up the Discovery Guide. There's copies outside the chapel. Each page, it has a reading plan to get to read through the Bible in a year or 3 years. There's all kinds of systems out there, but I encourage you, I challenge you to read from the beginning through to the end. Praise be to God. Amen. I'm going to welcome Dan to come up to the piano and offer some piano music for us while I invite our ushers to come forward as we continue to share of the blessings God has given us to further the work and ministry of the church. So ushers, please come. Gracious Lord God, we thank you for the blessings you shower upon us. And through people of faith, we offer these offerings to you for the furtherance of your kingdom, both here locally and around the world, to give you honor and praise. Amen.
I can only imagine what that day will be like. Our closing song is called Living Hope. And the song, it says, the work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Following the spoken benediction, we will sing the chorus once again of Living Hope. Please join as you're able.
Desperation.
people of God by grace, followers of Christ by choice, partners with the Spirit through faith, now and forever, depart and worship Him. Amen.
Salvation in your name, Jesus Christ.